What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of All at War. I'm turning around. I'm in the studio with Rosie. What's up, Rosie?
What's up, man?
Episode number 172.
Nice. Man,
churning them out. What do you know?
Dang, I wasn't ready for that right off the bat.
Sorry.
Hey, did you know that there is a Civil War era politician named Clement Vallandigham? V-A-L-L-A-N-D-I-G-H-A-M.
Digham.
Vallandigham, who is an American lawyer and politician.
Okay.
So he died in Lebanon, Ohio, after accidentally shooting himself in the abdomen with a pistol.
Whoa.
While he was representing a defendant in a murder case who killed a man in a barroom brawl who claimed that his pistol accidentally went off and shot somebody.
So I guess his defense stood.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Like, that's a pretty good, that's a good lawyer, I guess.
He really threw himself into the role.
Which is also pretty crazy to think about. That means he had a pistol in a courtroom.
A loaded gun. Things were different back then.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, you could carry loaded guns anywhere. Like, they were just around.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And, you know, what year was that? The 18, what was it, 18 something? Civil War, right? Yeah, Pre-Civil War?
Somewhere around there.
Well, even still, it was like...
1871.
Okay, yeah, so late 1800s. Yeah, there's still, you know, depending on where you live, Lebanon, Ohio is pretty rural. I'm sure there was some kind of wild, you know, probably coyotes and stuff that you'd have to... Yeah, you know, it's always just good to keep something to protect your family. But I don't even know if Indians were around back then, because they would...
They probably drove them all westward. Yeah, this is pretty interesting though. His last words expressed his faith in, quote, that good old Presbyterian doctrine of predestination.
Oh no.
so he's
a Gnostic.
He was meant to shoot himself in the stomach.
It was all meant to be predestined.
He was predestined. He could have not loaded that gun and went in with an empty gun, and he's still going to shoot himself.
Right.
Nothing. He had no will.
Right.
No free will.
A bullet would have magically appeared.
Probably the defendant would have been like, "Wow, well, I was just holding my gun like this," and it goes off and shoots.
God's like, "I don't care what you do. You're dying today."
Yeah. What do you think?
Anyways, such enlightening, uplifting conversation.
Yeah.
So, I like to say, sit back, grab a coffee, and enjoy.
You're listening to the All Out War podcast.
It's interesting that technology is often a very close cousin of sorcery, even in the literature here.
Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy.
Our differences worldwide could vanish if we were facing an alien threat.
Indeterminate moment. Christ's believers will be caught up, snatched up out of this world while the world goes on with a very, very definite agenda.
Yes, it does. Every time. I don't know what else to say after that.
Yeah.
We're going to get snatched up. Hey, we have a great episode. Episode number 172. We are going to be talking about the Nation of Islam, and in particular, we're going to talk about Yaqub. If you've never heard of this, it's absolutely crazy to me. I don't know. Maybe to you, it's not. Maybe to our listener, it's not. I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I don't even... So if you have been listening to us for a while, you know we did a whole series called the Doctrines of Demons series. And we covered like the Law of Attraction. We covered that one cult.
Urantia. Did we talk about the Urantia book?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, Urantia. And I guess we could classify this as an extension of that series, The Doctrine of Demons. We could put this in that series as the Nation of Islam, because it definitely ain't from God. So,
yeah.
Excuse me. But I think what we could do is we'll just kind of unpack some history, where it came from, and it'll just speak for itself, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, so maybe a couple precursory statements that we're going to say from the outset.
Yeah.
So obviously we're going to get into what the Nation of Islam is. For anyone who's unaware of what it is, the Nation of Islam is not Islam.
Good point.
It is I don't even want to say a sect of Islam because it's really not.
Yeah.
not. It doesn't.
They borrow from everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I just want to say this beforehand is, and we're just talking literally right before we were about to record about, we're going to do two more episodes kind of in the similar vein mm-hmm. of this, with two other groups that when we're doing them, like when you see, when you listen to the next episodes,
yeah,
everyone will be like, okay, this makes sense as to why they're grouped together.
Yeah.
But
we don't know when those will happen either, like down the road.
Yeah. Sometimes.
But, yeah.
But the, this group is racist. They're extremely racist, and it is not the kind of racism you're probably used to.
Right.
And
not modern day racism.
No. Actually, this would be called not racism because
right.
you can't be racist against white people.
But, right.
So we're going to talk about some stuff that this will be very clear that they hold some very, very, very unorthodox beliefs.
Yeah.
And so when you hear some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, we may laugh because it's so absolutely insane, but we're not trying to laugh at people.
Right. If I can say.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I'm trying to
think. If somebody is in the Nation of Islam, they're not saved.
Oh, no.
And so our hearts are that they'll move out of that Nation of Islam and move into a proper relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, and find salvation. That's our heart and goal. So mm-hmm. when we laugh at this, you're going to laugh. Like, if you're a real person, yeah. if you're not a religious stuck up, you'll laugh. You'll laugh when you hear what they believe and where it came from, because it's just so insane. It's like a sci-fi movie or something.
Yeah. When I was telling you about it, this is how I pitched it to him. It's basically, it's Black Scientology.
Right. That's what it really is.
Because it should have been, there's nothing, and we'll get into it when we start rolling into it very short, you know, we're going to shut up quickly and get into this,
but right.
The same way that I would view it, like listening to the insane stuff that's in Scientology, obviously, you know, there's everyone should have a heart for anyone that's trapped into Scientology.
Yeah, of course.
To be like, how, you know, so we can laugh at it and like, oh, you believe that in science, how do you believe in this? This is right. so insane. And we can laugh about the beliefs, but we're not laughing at people that are trapped in it. And we're right. not trying to make light of the fact that people get trapped into cults and they believe crazy stuff.
Right.
So I just want to get that out of the way.
But yeah. And to be clear, Nation of Islam is a cult.
Yeah. And there's nothing about it. They don't pretend to be saved. They don't pretend to be Christian.
Right.
They're anti-Christian in many of their beliefs.
Yeah.
Like explicitly so. But they talk about stuff that they steal from the Bible.
From Christianity.
Christianity, yeah. from Judaism, ironically, even though they hate Judaism. They hate, they're kind of steal stuff from the Quran and Islam. Obviously, it's in the name, but no Muslim would ever accept them as being right. part of Islam. So these guys
are no knowledgeable.
Yeah, these guys are very extreme. They're very extreme.
And I think that's all part of it too. Like the whole name of it is very deceiving, even.
Yeah.
Because it puts forth a name that sounds very different than what it is. But the origins are where it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
So let's start with the origins. I don't even know where to start on this free. You can start.
Yeah, I have so many like tabs open and I have two books sitting here.
You actually have a book. All right, let's start with Yaqob or Yaqob. That character is.
Let's start first about let's lay the groundwork for what all the right. nation is, because that's everything about this is just insane.
Yeah.
So
let's go.
Okay, the Nation of Islam basically started in the 30s out of rightfully so, this identitarianism of. Which just means like this collective group of people, and they were all African Americans in America that felt, you know, the 1930s is before, you know, still Jim Crow laws, you know, mm-hmm. even though slavery ended, there's still a lot of
racial
stuff, obviously, yeah. you know. So this kind of rose out of that. It's a Black nationalist organization. And so it was started in Detroit. by a guy named Wallace Dodd Ford, who took the name Fard and Mohammed. So his name is now Fard Mohammed.
And you go by WD.
Yeah.
WD Fard or WD Mohammed. Yeah.
So the other thing that's really funny about this is he's not actually black.
Right.
So he was a child of a white person. I think it's a guy. The dad. Some people say think he was Pakistani. Some say he's white.
He might have been Hawaiian too.
Yeah, his mom was from New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah. So started by this guy who really just kind of came out of nowhere. He was like a door-to-door salesman, and then he started kind of preaching, and he got this one guy that he kind of took under his wing. And this guy's name is Elijah Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And so he took like 3 years of just like indoctrinating this guy with everything that he believed about the Nation of Islam, or, you know, like the doctrines that would be. And I don't want to get this twisted a little bit, but it seems kind of like how another big cult started, the Mormons.
Yeah.
Where basically this one guy who says Not only that he has revelation from God that he has to only tell, you know, a small number of people, and he's the only person that knows it, but a lot W.D. Fard also claimed to actually be Allah incarnate.
Yes.
So
that's so crazy.
It's really crazy.
Can I read something?
Yeah, about please, that? Please go ahead.
So 1931 to 1975, Elijah Poole, a.k.a. Elijah Muhammad. So Elijah, this is his disciple.
Yeah.
He mystified Islam and taught extreme racism against whites. He is thought to be the Messiah of Judaism and the prophesied redeemer and connected to Allah in the flesh. He was the Messiah in the flesh, the second coming of Jesus in the flesh. His birthday is celebrated on 2/26, February 26th. It's called Savior's Day. And he discipled Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X,
yep,
believe it or not. So that's pretty crazy. And he, Elijah Poole, apparently changed the name of it to the Nation of Islam at some point. He was the one that was responsible for that. And apparently it grew to about 250,000 members in the United States. So it wasn't a small cult by any stretch. It did grow fairly quickly. And you can imagine you have something that's aimed at a specific race in a specific time period when they were, you know, experiencing new freedoms and wanting to, you know, somebody wanted to take advantage of that, you know? So, but anyways, yeah. So that, I just wanted to point that out that, yeah, this guy discipled both Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. And if you listen to old speeches of Muhammad Ali, like when he was talking and stuff, he is very clearly Nation of Islam. Like he's like, I'm not Islamic, I'm Nation of Islam. He makes a distinction.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. So I found this, it's actually really funny, this Christian apologetics to it, like this page. So I'm going to go over, before we start getting into the even crazier stuff.
Yeah.
We're just going to lay out this stuff. And this has, the other thing is there's not actually a book that they have written.
Right.
There isn't any book. What it is, and I'll take a step back. So W.D. Fard, this guy who came out of nowhere, basically, no one really knows what he was doing before he showed up in Detroit in 1930 and started selling stuff. There's really nothing known about even his name. That's why people are guessing that where his mom was from. You know, like they found out, but some people, it's up for debate, but the thing is he wasn't from Africa,
yeah,
which is funny.
Right.
He disappears. Like he straight up disappears.
He does.
And nobody knows, as far as I know, everything I could find, no one knows where he went. No one knows who did anything with it. There is a lot of, because this, as it grew as a political movement, you know, the Black Panthers and all these kind of black separatist groups, radical separatist groups, were taking a lot of these ideologies from the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad. So there is some talk that Elijah Muhammad may have gotten him out of the way. You know, like there's some murder stuff. And at the same time, you said that there's this kind of split. There was this split where, which got Malcolm X killed because he kind of took it to a more, which is actually kind of ironic. It's kind of in the same way that the Muslims claim that Muhammad had this peaceful period and then he was like this warlord, but you know, the time is kind of different. They have this stuff where,
but he was always a pedophile,
always had syphilis and was a midget and was ugly. These are their words.
This is Muhammad.
Muhammad. Yeah.
Not the Muhammad we're talking about, but the Muhammad from Islam.
The Islam Muhammad. Yeah.
It's going to get so confusing if we keep the...
Yeah. But anyway, so Malcolm X was killed because he started off very radical.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was killed, presumably, by other people in the Nation of Islam to kind of quell this. He wanted to be more peaceful.
Yeah.
Like, he started off super radical and got more peaceful. And everyone believes that he was murdered because he kind of led some of these people in this other branch. And then Elijah Muhammad renamed his to like the original Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
And then he died and they all kind of came back together.
Yeah.
There is other splinter groups, but that's the basic thing. So a lot of these high profile people are just killed, you know, and no one really knows what happened with them. But so there is like a radical wing of... Yes, that's tied in.
And they had a military, they were called the Fruit of Islam, FOI. Yeah. And it was basically just a military arm of the Nation of Islam. And it was like 5% group.
Mm-hmm. The 5%ers. Yeah.
Yeah. They broke off. And so the 5%ers came from that. So the Black Panthers might've possibly came from the Fruit of Islam, the FOI. I don't really know. I haven't really looked into that too much, but I do have a FBI declassified document that you were talking about, just you were in reference to, and I'll just read it real quick.
Yeah.
This is about W.D. Fard. So this is the actual founder of Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. It's a security matter on the Nation of Islam, and it came out of the San Francisco Bureau of the FBI on August 27th, 1957. So it's kind of crazy to find a document that from back then, you know, that's just out there. But it basically just says, I'll read real quick. For the information of the Honolulu, Portland, and Washington field offices, as a result of a recent inspection of the Chicago office, it was suggested that a concerted effort be made to determine the whereabouts of W.D. Fard. This is after he disappeared. Mm-hmm. Reportedly the founder of the Nation of Islam. According to speeches and writings of Elijah Muhammad, so that's his disciple, the national letter of the NOI, Allah, came to Detroit, Michigan from Mecca in 1930 in the person of one W.D. Fard, who taught him Muhammad for 3 years concerning Islam. Muhammad claims that Fard taught Islam in Detroit from 1930 to 1933, at which time he was asked to leave Detroit by the Detroit Police Department, which is really interesting, and subsequently came to Chicago, Illinois. Fard taught Islam until 1934, at which time he disappeared, and nothing has been seen or heard of him since that time. Muhammad is also indicating, Elijah Muhammad has indicated that Fard had returned to Mecca.
Yeah.
So Mecca plays into this too.
Yeah.
So this is important to know that. But
yeah. So
that was the FBI report.
Yeah.
Literally, the FBI was trying to figure out where this guy was and what was going on.
And another name. So this still continues. Elijah Muhammad has since died, and Louis Farrakhan, which people, you probably heard that name in some form because he's like 100 years old.
He's still in the news.
In the news all the time.
Right.
And the Nation of Islam. These are you may see them or you may see videos of them. They're guys when they do press conferences. Like, they were very big anti-vax. They came out against COVID.
Yep.
They also have some... I was trying to find more of the conspiracy theories that they're known for. There's nothing really that no one's ever heard, except they're like, you know, the Jews run the world, blah, blah, blah. We hate that. You know, like that kind of stuff. White people are devils. And we'll get into this. But they also... The biggest conspiracy theory that I heard, which is really kind of funny, is weed is a government plot or by the white man. they claim to make black guys gay.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Louis Farrakhan, you'll hear him spouting something about usually, and all the guys are like, they have clean shaven faces. They wear suits with red bow ties. Mm-hmm. The women dress like traditional Muslim garb, head coverings and all that stuff.
Sometimes the guys wear like these little hats too.
Yeah, the little like Sufi kind of hats. Yeah. So if you ever see like a little guy surrounded by a bunch of big black guys and they're all wearing suits with red ties, that's Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
But okay, so here's some of their beliefs. God. This is what they believe about God. The Nation of Islam claims that God is a man. Quote, God is a man and we just cannot make him other than man. The NOI teaches that Fard was Allah in physical form, blah, 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 blah. Biblical response, obviously. That's not true. God is spirit. He's not he came into the form of man through Jesus Christ, and he's not Fard. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to debunk. I think everyone's with us on that. Humanity. The NOI teaches that blacks are gods and whites are demons. They claim that blacks are the same race as God. To accept him, to accept your own means yourself and your kind, your God who is of you and you are of him. It was your fathers that created the heavens and earth. While there is nothing that the white man has created independently, he did not even create himself. The black nation is self-created while the white race is made by one of the gods and scientists of the black nation.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, that'll come into play in a little bit.
The NOI claims that one of these black scientists created the moon. They claim that 66 trillion years ago, he decided to destroy the earth. He drilled a shaft into the earth, filled it with high explosives, and then set it off. He failed to totally destroy the earth, but he did blow it into two parts. The smaller part is what we now call the moon. That's what's so crazy about this, is like you'll read some stuff where you're like, where did that even come from? And how does that have anything to do with it? And that's kind of like where I was talking about, like the black Scientology. And maybe I'll just get, just because we're going to talk about some stuff that touches on race, these two other episodes that were planned, we're doing one about the white counterpart to this.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Because there is a white version of this that is
just
probably
insane.
More, I would say it's more pernicious because it actually claims to be Christian. And this one doesn't, but the white version of this claims to be Christian They claim to be the true sect of Christianity. But anyways, our response to that, obviously, blacks are not gods. Whites are not demons.
Right.
Everyone is born in the image of God.
That's right.
And we're all equal in the sight of God.
That's right. And you know what? You were mentioning Mormonism earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they think about their doctrines for that blacks were demons?
Yeah.
It's like the total polar opposite. And what's interesting is they both came around about the same time, 1800s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think the Nation of Islam was started from, or I'm sorry, it has its roots in some older groups that there's really not a lot of information.
Yeah.
So these are new ideas, the stuff that I'm reading about.
Yeah.
But not everything is kind of a new idea.
Right, that makes sense. Gotcha, yeah.
Here's what they believe about the Bible. It says, while the NOI often refers to the Bible, they'll call it the Bible, they claim it has been corrupted. quote. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say this earlier. So they do not have an actual textbook. Like they don't have, we have the Bible, the Muslims have the Quran, the Jews have the Torah, the Talmud, and the other ones.
The Pentateuch.
So the Mormons have the Book of Mormon. Buddhists don't really have anything. But, you know, that. They have the teachings of the Buddha, whatever, that was written 600 years after he was died. But anyways, so a lot of this stuff is literally just from letters out of a newsletter that Elijah Muhammad wrote. he wrote a couple like little pamphlets. So all this stuff is like, he literally is just like, I'm going to make this up today.
Right.
And it's doctrine.
Let me get out my cocaine or my drugs and write a pamphlet.
Yeah. So I always like want to quote like where it's from.
Right.
But it's just like from a book, page 87 or something like that. So this is what they believe about the Bible. It was corrupted. The original scripture called the Torah was revealed to Musa. Moses, was holy until the Jews and Christian scholars started tampering with it. The Bible is not at all holy, nor is it the word of God. Contrary to traditional Islam, the NOI also teaches that the Quran has been tampered with. Quote, the enemy has tampered with the truth of both books, for he has been permitted to handle both books. The resurrection. The NOI denies the physical resurrection of the dead. Their doctrinal statement proclaims, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, not in the physical resurrection, but in the mental resurrection. Oh. Therefore, they will be resurrected first. Despite their denial of physical resurrection, the NOI apparently believes that Elijah Muhammad is still alive. Every issue of their newspaper carries a statement of the Muslim program. Included with this statement is Elijah Muhammad's picture and declaration, he lives. Okay. Here we go. This is the last one before we even get into Yakub.
Okay.
The Last Judgment.
Oh.
The NOI teaches that a giant spaceship...
I knew it. When you told me that they had their own eschatology, I was like, well, I almost said, I bet it's a spaceship.
Yeah. The giant spaceship called the Mother Plane will carry out Allah's judgment.
Oh, my gosh.
Black scientists will use the same bombs that brought up, quote, the mountains out of the earth to destroy the white race. They claim this judgment will not only destroy the white race, but also Christianity. Elijah Muhammad asserted, Armageddon has started, and after that, there will be no Christian religions or churches. Jesus was a Muslim, not a Christian. Louis Farrakhan claims that he was taken aboard the Mother Plane in a vision. While in the giant UFO, he spoke to Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, who has been dead for several years.
Wait, I thought he was still alive.
Exactly.
Forever alive, right? He lives
forever. He's still alive, but except for when Louis Farrakhan saw him in a dream when he was dead. Farrakhan also asserts that this giant spaceship follows him when he travels.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude. That's amazing.
Okay. So that's some of their stuff. I want to talk about another kind of crazy thing. And this is where it starts to get just where you start to see they steal a little bit from a lot of other stuff. Okay. Cosmology? It's not cosmology. Whatever. This one word that's not cosmology.
Cosmography?
Cosmogony.
I can't see it. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why I'm trying to have a problem with words today. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
And the tribe of Shabazz. So this is another important thing.
Shabazz. Sounds like you're speaking in tongues.
Yeah. The nation teaches that in the beginning there is nothing but darkness. Then 76 trillion years ago, the first god willed himself into being, taking 6 million years to form into his desired appearance, that of a black man. In this account, this god chose his skin color in reference to the blackness from which he had emerged. According to the nation, the first god created the sun and the planets. As his helpers, he created more black men and took his place on a council of 24 imams, 12 greater and 12 lesser. Each of these imams takes a turn being a god for one cycle each. So that's like some Buddhist, like... It's all over the place.
Well, also, that's the 12 elders, mm-hmm. you know, the 12 apostles sitting on the 12 thrones. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, yeah.
Yeah. 15,000 years ago, these ancient scientists who had knowledge of the future wrote their knowledge down in a text, the Mother Book. Parts of this, the NOI claims, has been given to humanity as the Torah, the Gospels, and the Quran. Before the tribe of Shabazz, 13 human tribes existed. These tribes were part of a single black civilization that existed over 66 trillion years ago that created the universe and everything in it, and it was the same group of people that the ancient scientists that existed beforehand. And when they say scientists, they literally mean scientists.
Right, yeah.
Like, they envision them as lab coat dudes.
Doing experiments, yeah.
Doing experiments. The nation holds that the moon was created when one of the scientists just tried to destroy the Earth with explosives, resulting in a chunk of the Earth's mass being forced into orbit. The nation also alleges that Asia and Africa were once a single continent. In endorsing a form of creationism, the nation rejects evolution and believes that the existence of dinosaurs is a hoax perpetrated by members of the white race. I don't know why we have to lie about that, but apparently they had to throw that in.
We're just taking the blame.
I mean, literally, that's everything this is.
Well, what's funny is we're created, like, they'll find out. But yet we also perpetuated the hoax of the dinosaurs. Yeah. So how did we fool them if we weren't around to see them?
I don't know, dude.
It's like the contradictions run thick.
Yeah. The NOI promotes numerology, the belief that numbers possess hidden meanings.
That's it. I was on board until
On board? Gosh. You're on board. You're on the mother plane.
I was on the mothership. Getting on the mothership.
It's the plane. Mother plane.
Mother plane.
Yeah. Like a flying plane. Like an airplane. The NOI, it is believed that the number 19 is the code to decoding the scriptures, such as the Quran. It takes a view that it is meaningful that both the names of both Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan have 14 letters in them, which is funny because they chose their own names. That's not the name that they were born with.
They made their own name up.
Okay. The nation teaches that the first humans were the original or Asiatic race. now they're Asians.
Right.
Whom it describes as members of the tribe of Shabazz, who spread all over the earth 66 trillion years ago onwards. It claims that this tribe inhabited Egypt's Nile Valley as well as the area around Mecca in the Arabian Peninsula. Elijah Muhammad claimed that Mecca was the tribe's original home and the only holy spot on our planet. He claimed that the tribe were Muslim and that their language is Arabic. In the nation's discourse, these early humans are labeled black, described as having dark skin as well as smooth, straight hair, closely resembling dark-complexioned Arabians or South Asians rather than sub-Saharan Africans. That's what's so crazy is, like, it's supposed to be a black, explicitly African-American thing.
Yeah.
And then they also claim that their own black that they talk about is not the same black that the people
Africa
are.
Black, yeah.
Yeah, so, again, this is when you start getting in. I was thinking of this. Christianity is the only religion that I can think of. Like, the more religions that you actually read the doctrines of what these religions teach, like the fact, I said it in jest, Buddha, right? Buddhism.
Yeah.
There's different kinds of Buddhism. They believe different things. There's Buddhism now is... there's as many forms of Buddhism as there are people that claim to be Buddhists.
Right.
Because none of them all believe the same thing. And here's a little apologetics nugget for you people listening. If you ever deal with a New Ager who claims to be Buddhist, who like gives you crap about the Bible being, but the New Testament was written like,
Constantine.
15. Yeah. They'll just even say about the letter. The earliest letters are probably around 40 AD. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so they were written 15 years after Jesus died? 15 years. You don't think someone corrupted that? Or, you know, right. How can you believe someone got everything right 15 years ago onward to 20 to 40 years later, right? The teachings of Buddha were not written down until 600 years after he died.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
They have no claim. Anything that they're going to say about 15 years from people who were there. All right?
Yeah.
So Buddhism is crazy. All these other religions. Christianity, this back to the original point. Christianity is the only religion that actually logically makes sense. There are no contradictions in scripture. If you look into it, everything makes sense. There are no contradictions. It's the only one that has a coherent worldview that doesn't just make up stuff that when you read it, you're like, one sentence they say this, and then they don't mean this, but then they mean it, and they don't.
Right.
It's just, it's...
And they were eyewitnesses. That's the other part.
Exactly. They're eyewitnesses that everyone else knew. That guy, Paul, yeah. Like, he did all the stuff he wrote about.
Yeah.
Matthew, the 12 apostles, they were really with that guy that we saw them all with. Right. You know? That's not there anymore. Okay. The NOIs, anyway, the race. So we'll get into now.
Are we getting with Yacoub now?
The myth of Yacoub.
All right. Yeah. Myth. So, I love that, the myth.
Which is so funny. They call it the myth of Yacoub.
And he's their origin. This is their origin story.
Well, like, no. This is the origin of the white man.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this is the... I should say this is our origin story because I'm white. You're white.
Exactly. Yeah. So...
All right.
Okay. we're going to start getting crazy. The NOI promotes a story called The Myth of Yacoub, which received its fullest exposition in Elijah Muhammad's 1965 book, Message to the Black Man. Yep. Yacoub is presented as a black scientist who was a child prodigy. By the age of 18, he had learned everything that Mecca's universities had to teach him.
By the way, Yacoub means Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
It literally means Jacob. It's just, it sounds Yacoub. It's spelled with a Y.
Yeah. But, what? Sorry, I'm laughing at some other stuff that's going to, I know, coming. So he was a child prodigy. He learned everything that the universities had to teach him. He attracted a following but caused trouble, leading to the Meccan authorities to exile him and his 6,000 followers to Palan, the Mediterranean island of Patmos. So not only do they believe that he's actually Jacob, the biblical Jacob, Jacob and Esau,
yeah,
but he also is John the Apostle.
Right. John.
Who wrote Revelation. Right. Which
was...
The time frame doesn't make any sense. I have this book that I was going to read out of. It's called The Book of Yacoub, Father of the Caucasian Race, written by Rashid El Muhammad. I actually bought a couple years ago this book because I wanted to talk about this at one point. It is the most ridiculously hard to read book, and it doesn't make sense because the timelines just don't make sense at all. But
are you going to go into a little bit about Yacoub's background too? Because I have some stuff that I found.
Go ahead. You start. I'm gonna,
because this will bring us up to the island of Patmos. So Yacoub, this is interesting. Yacoub was one of many alien groups that came to Earth after leaving their own planets. Yacoub was one of the aliens that found the Earth, and after his host planet was being destroyed by evil, and we're not told where this planet was. They settled at Agartha, which is in the Hollow Earth. So they believe in the Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
They were able to function in the Hollow Earth because there's a second sun there. And so, there were no white people on the planet at that time. So when they go into the Hollow Earth, there's no white people, only black people. And they're called Ebone, which is ebony, where we get our, you know. So the Ebone tribe around 4600 BC. So that was pretty interesting. Do you want me to go on? I have some more stuff about.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
So Yacoub and his alien kind were able to live inside the Hollow Earth because of a hidden second sun. They built a highly advanced civilization. The Shiok lived in the Hollow Earth also. They had large heads with oversized brains, making them far more intelligent than your average human. Rarely did the Shiok come into contact with the humans on the surface, but when they did, the humans would view them as prophets or mystics. The alien leader was named Fukor, F-U-K-O-R, so I'm calling it Fukor.
Yeah.
He had a daughter named Princess Regia and two sons named Amo and Ushak. Ushak had a bitter jealousy of his brother Amo and his father. And so he is exiled to the surface, where he falls in love with an earthling woman from the surface, and he marries her. So he's like, I'm done with Hollow Earth. I'm out. I'm a surface guy now. And so he takes his big head and he goes up to the surface of the planet, and he marries this, falls in love and falls, marries this white, this earthling. Once on Earth, he becomes subject to aging. I guess apparently they didn't age in the Hollow Earth. Something about living down there.
Well, duh.
Yeah, I guess. My bad. Sorry. There's another alien race that's found in the Hollow Earth. They're called the Sinian, and they have big heads, but their heads are coned. So it's like the movie Conehead. So you have...
Like, I'm serious. Yeah, no, I know.
So you have, if you think about it, the our boy Yacoub has this head that kind of, if you go to our Instagram or just look at the podcast, because I found an adaptation of it.
If you just Google the Yacoub, right. If you just do that, the first picture will show up.
Yes, it'll show up. So they end up getting in this fight with the Coneheads. And so it's the Coneheads and the Bulbheads, and they get in a big fight. And there's actually three alien races that are mentioned. I'm going off my notes now. This is by memory because I watched like five YouTube things about this. And apparently, there was so much unsettledness in within Hollow Earth, they had to like kind of like subdue the other aliens to get it. So it's all settled now, and the you know, the original Yakub's original alien host people were, or whatever they are, aliens, were, they survived. So they're still there, apparently, in the Hollow Earth. And this is why you can't go, you know, be, well, okay, first of all, can you imagine a flat Earth with a Hollow Earth also?
You're right.
There is actually a conspiracy about that. I don't know if people know that.
Yeah.
It's like you can't go to Antarctica because of the ice wall, but then you can't go to the North Pole because of the Hollow Earth entrance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And interesting too, there was a movie about Hollow Earth, and I don't know if you remember, it came out with Chris Pratt like a couple years ago, and it was called Tomorrow War? Yeah, Tomorrow War.
Oh, I never saw that.
Dude, it was actually really cool. Oh. Tomorrow War, they actually fight these creatures, these aliens, from the Hollow Earth.
Oh.
So they come from Hollow Earth rather than from space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That was a total departure. So anyways, Yakub makes his surface marriage and starts having, you know, making his family up there. And I don't know if you want to pick up here or I can continue. I can take us up to Island of Patmos if you want, from what I found.
Yeah. How about you say it, and then I want to
correct.
Try to read some.
Yeah,
it's so crazy.
So basically, Yakub is a scientist. He's a super brainy guy. I mean, his brain's the size of like, you know, two people's brains.
Yeah, think of like him with a bald. Like he's balding. They couldn't even make him have like a nice head of hair. Right. And then picture two bulbs of garlic.
Right. That's really good.
Next to it. That's what it looks like.
Sitting on top of it. Yeah. So the two bulbs of garlic head Yakub, he then wants to he's so angry at his family that he wants to create a race that would be anti-black. Mm-hmm. So he's out of his anger and from his dad and his brother who he was exiled from, he says, I'm going to get vengeance. I'm going to make a new race of people, and they're going to be evil and wicked, and mm-hmm. they're going to be white. I'm going to make them white. They're not even going to be black. And so he begins these genetic experiments, and I think he calls it, what does he call it?
Grafting.
Yeah, grafting. Yeah. So he starts this grafting experiments, and he gets on these ships, and he has all his followers with him.
He has 59,999, and he makes the 60th.
Yeah, so he is.
So 60,000 people.
60,000 people. There's like all these boats. They get on these boats, and they leave the Mecca area, and they go down the whole coast of Africa, around the Horn of Africa, up the other coast of the western coast of Africa, and they end up on the island of Patmos. And all along, as he's going down on these boats, he's doing these experiments, and if he's having all these sex with all these women to have babies and try and make them more white, and if they're dark, he throws them overboard. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I heard two different discrepancies on this, so I don't know which one's true.
Sure.
Probably neither.
I don't think they know whether it's true.
But apparently the myth goes that when he would throw these black babies overboard, they would swim to land, and that's how they would Africa became black, mm-hmm. because they would inhabit and they would produce and they would just more of their kind. And so he basically populated Africa by taking 600 ships around it and throwing babies overboard along the way because they weren't white enough. And so eventually he gets to the island of Patmos, and he settles there, and he becomes the king of Patmos. And then I'll let you take it from here, because that's where we kind of got up to before.
Oh, no, that's perfect. Yeah. And I love this book. So I bought a Nation of Islam book.
Right.
From them, for them.
I'm looking at it in his hand right now.
Look, they even have the genotype, like how it happened. But yeah, basically, that's exactly it. And at the same time, as he's driving, he's also looking at the men that he brought, and the men and the women, and if they're not good, then he throws them overboard too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he wants only the best. It goes into
making an elite race of people.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's so hard to read.
It's so weird. He wants to make an evil white race, but he's only saving the best black people to make the white race. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Evil. You think he would save the evil people? You want to pass that genetics down, right?
Well, it's the ones that he didn't think would be able to make the recessive gene
Oh, okay.
of the white babies. Yeah. So here's an this is an interesting thing he says. Today, no intelligent person argues over the fact that all people derive from black-skinned man and woman of the earth. In human, I'm just reading it verbatim. In human genetics, haplogroup A is a Y chromosome haplogroup. Haplogroup A is found mainly in the Southern Nile region, Southern Africa. It represents the oldest and most diverse of the human Y chromosome haplogroups. It is believed to be the haplogroup corresponding to the Y chromosomal atom. Here's another story that's just really great. And this is what he uses to explain. They use something that come out of the Jewish traditions called the Midrash.
Oh, yeah.
To explain the birth of white children to black parents. Here's the rabbis present this parable. So this is, they've stolen this.
They're literally ripping off Judaism. Yeah.
The king of the Arabs put this question to Rabbi Akiba. I am black and my wife is black, yet she gave birth to a white son. Shall I kill her for having played the harlot while lying with me? Said the other, are the figures in your house painted white or black? White, he said. The other assured him, when you have intercourse with her, she fixed her eyes upon the white figures and bore a child like them. So she looked at the painted room, the white color painting on the room.
Yeah.
And because she was looking at that and thinking about white, two black people could produce a white baby.
It reminds me of the story of why is my brain doing this? Rachel and Leah and Jacob was waiting for, remember when he was working off his, he had to work for 7 years then he started taking care of the flocks and he would strip the bark off of the, and put it in the water. Mm-hmm. And the ones that drank with the stripped bark off, so it was striped, they would become spotted. Mm-hmm. And he was able to keep all the spotted sheep.
Right, yeah.
All the spotted sheep. Yeah. The ones that were born that weren't pure like that or whatever. It reminds me of that story. Like they're borrowing from Jacob and Leah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Rachel.
It's so funny. Yeah. So that's what they believe. Yeah. So that's one of their things. Here's some more interesting stuff. It also said that over two centuries, Yacoub's experiments created a group of blonde, light-haired, skinned people, the white race. The myth, they are prone to lying, violence, and brutality. Here's another one. According to the nation's teachings, Yacoub's newly created white race sowed discord among the black race and thus were exiled to live in the caves of Europe. In this narrative, it was in Europe that the white race engaged in bestiality and degenerated, resulting in the emergence of apes and monkeys. Oh,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's a whole, yeah. So, aware of their role in the future, Allah sent Moses to teach the white race to cook with seasoning and wear clothes. According to the nation, Jesus of Nazareth was also sent to try and civilize the white race. Farrakhan's NOI has taught that Jesus was not the Messiah, as Christians believe, but that he was instead pointed to the later coming of the true Messiah, Elijah Muhammad. Obviously, they do not believe that he was a product of a virgin birth or that he was crucified and resurrected. It says, Allah permitted the white race to rule the earth for 6,000 years, a period that is almost at an end. The NOI teaches that the white race spread out from Europe and began to dominate the world. It conquered and enslaved the tribe of Shabazz, shipping many of them to the Americas as part of the Atlantic slave trade. It claims that most of these enslaved blacks forgot their true names, their Arabic language, and their Muslim identity, instead embracing Christianity, the religion of the white oppressor. In this enslaved state, the black people lost their morality, engaging in sinful behavior such as fornication and drinking alcohol. The nation teaches that Allah allowed all of this to happen so that the black race would realize humanity's inner potential for evil and discover how to defeat it, thus enabling them to realize their divine capacity and become gods.
Which is interesting because it's interesting how they pass off their degeneracy mm-hmm. to someone else.
Right.
It's because of the white people that we have drug problem and this mm-hmm. problem and that problem and alcoholism. And so they blame it on that rather than just straight up, like, we're superior. We don't need to partake in this stuff. Right.
Exactly.
It's yeah. interesting.
It's so crazy. So you'll love more of this. It says the subjugation of African Americans is thus seen as part of an ancient white conspiracy. According to the NOI, most whites are unaware of their true origins, but that senior Freemasons have this knowledge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, they hit
everything.
I know.
there's this whole chapter in this book I was reading about the money system, because getting us off the gold standard and like all that. Like, they go into everything.
I feel like they would be like hot. They would love our podcast. We talk about all kinds of stuff that they would like
yeah.
dig into. What, I wonder what they think about the Nephilim.
Oh, that's interesting. I never even thought to look up that. you want to hear some more? So they believe in 1914, the 6,000 years of white rule ended. Yeah.
Yeah, 1914.
Yeah.
It's been downhill since then, man.
Yeah. Except, yeah. And they blame everything on white people. It says Farrakhan has claimed that the white establishment has encouraged a black gang culture to provide an excuse for the police killing of black youths, and that they are responsible for flooding the black majority urban areas with drugs. So whenever you hear that thing, that is a Nation of Islam.
It's a teaching.
It's kind of
one of their things. Yeah.
Now, did that actually happen?
Right. That's what I'm like rolling my eyes. Like,
it seems like
I feel like the 80s were the government was pretty steeped in drug dealing.
Yeah. I mean, Iran-Contra, they were bringing cocaine in the country. It's pretty. Yeah.
Crack.
Yeah. They also believe that white people created AIDS. To exterminate black people. Oh. I told you that they believe that weed is making...
Wait a second. Fauci might have...
Yeah, except I'm pretty sure that almost exclusively in the 80s, when people were dying of AIDS, it was white gay people.
Yeah,
white gay
gays. Most.
The early
adopters of AIDS were white.
Yeah.
I hate to say like the early adopters.
Yeah.
you're not going to get very far.
No. All right. Here. So that's Yacoub.
Yacoub is.
We can go back into it. So actually, here's a chapter.
You say Yacoub, I say Jacob.
Well, I don't think he's actually Jacob,
though. No, I know. But I mean, the same name.
So they actually, again, do believe that John the
Revelator.
The Revelator is Yacoub.
Oh.
They have a whole bunch of, this was interesting, is they actually talk a lot about, they have their own interpretations of the Book of Revelation that we can get into if you want to.
Sure, I love to hear that.
But do you want to hear about the eschatology first? You want to go into Revelation?
Let's start, well, we know about the spaceship.
Dude, it gets better.
Which is great because it's a perfect circle, right? Like they came down as aliens, so of course a spaceship's going to come and get them back. All right,
that's a whole other thing. They like again. When you have to remember this is, there's these gods that created themselves by willing themselves. Then some of these gods, there's the 24, but not all the 24. Then they're living on other planets. It talks about Jupiter. Like there's nothing consistent. I was thinking, I'm gonna butcher the line, but it's the line from Whose Line Is It Anyway, where he's like, the points are made up and the score doesn't count or anything like that.
Right,
that's how they are with dates. They're like, numbers don't matter and the dates don't matter.
Well, I'd say
everything's made up.
They time jump like crazy. They're like all this.
Nothing's consistent.
Suddenly they're 6,000 years before. And then suddenly they're on the island of Patmos with John in the same lifespan. And then all of a sudden they're aliens that are coming before that. And then, it's just like they time jump like nobody's business. And then next thing you know, they're talking about the slave trade and they, 1600s.
Yeah.
So.
So they do agree with us. They are millenarian. So they currently believe we are living in the end times, but they believe in a thousand years.
Okay. They believe there will be a thousand year reign.
That we are in currently.
Oh, we're in the thousand years. Okay. So they're post-mill.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Your post-mill.
Post-millers.
You know who else is post-mill? Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam. There's your buddies.
Yeah. It propounds a distinct eschatology drawing on the Book of Revelation. Central to its view of the apocalypse is a large spaceship known as the Wheel, the Mother Plane, or the Mothership. Oh, the other one didn't say. Sorry, you were right. Yeah, the Mothership. Members usually refer to it with female pronouns. Elijah Muhammad described this as a small human planet, claiming that it is half a mile by half a mile in diameter.
Ooh, that is small.
Yeah. The Nation teaches that this vessel is the Merkaba that appears in the Book of Ezekiel. It teaches that Allah and many of his scientists live in a magnificent city on the Mother Plane where they monitor humanity. Hmm. Farrakhan has claimed that Elijah Muhammad never died but is a resident aboard the ship. The Nation teaches that there are also smaller vessels, baby planes.
Baby ships.
That are docked inside the mothership and that these travel to visit Earth. The Nation teaches that a period of deteriorating interracial tensions will culminate in the apocalypse. NOI members have repeatedly claimed that the apocalypse is infinite. Farrakhan, for instance, predicted the Gulf War of 1990 would spark it, while Taineta Muhammad predicted it would occur in 2001. According to Nation teaching, the Mother Plane will appear above the Earth and transport the righteous to live upon it, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Because if you know anything about the Heaven's Gate cult,
mm-hmm.
So they believe that with the Halley-Bopp comet, that there is a spaceship behind it. And people, let me take a step back. The Heaven's Gate were the ones that wore the track suits with the Nike shoes. They committed suicide in...
mass suicide. Yeah, there's
mass suicide 40s. In California. No, I think it was in the 80s or 90s.
No, there was like 40 people that...
Oh, yeah.
I think it was like 42 people or something like that.
Oh, there's a really good thing. It's interesting that, because I can't remember, so I'm talking off the top of my head, but the guy who owned that is connected to 9/11. The guy who owned the house that they committed suicide in.
Owned the house. He was like renting it out to them or something.
Yeah. I can't remember who he was connected to, but that's a weird whole... We should... Yeah.
Look into that one, yeah.
The Heaven's Gate... So these guys preceded that idea that the spaceship's going to come.
And here's the other thing. There's the whole UFO. We've talked about this many times on our podcast, but mm-hmm. the whole UFO agenda is so deceiving, and people believe that we're going to make contact. They're going to come back. Yeah. It's a whole end times thing, mm-hmm. you know? So it's almost like Satan wanted to seed this deception early on, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so after the Mother Plane appears over the Earth, transports the righteous to live upon it, it will then use the baby planes to place bombs underneath the Earth's surface, which will then explode and wipe out the old white-dominated order.
Oh, okay. So they're just hanging out up in the spaceship. It's only a half mile by half mile, so, I mean, how many people are going to be able to fit in there?
Oh, only the righteous.
There's not going to be that many, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they only keep their numbers to like
200,000
at most.
At the most, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So it's like Jehovah's Witness. They're stealing from the Jehovah's Witness there. Only 120.
They have numerology. I haven't seen anything looking in this about 144,000 or anything like that.
Yeah, 144, yeah.
But I never really looked into the numerology.
But I bet you said it to them, there. They'd be like, oh, yeah, we got that.
It's 100% in there. It's got to be. It's got to be.
It's got to be. Everything else they borrowed.
Yeah, exactly. So the Earth, after the baby planes place bombs underneath the Earth's surface, kill all the white people, the Earth's atmosphere will burn for 390 years and then spend 310 years cooling down.
Okay.
Once the Earth has returned to a habitable state, Allah will return the righteous to live there in a new black paradise, also called Wakanda.
What?
Although I wouldn't be surprised if they took a lot of this from, like, the authors that wrote Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's another tangent, which is really interesting. All of the Marvel characters that were written were really only written by, like, four guys.
Yeah.
And they are... deeply, deeply, like Jack Kirby is one of them. He pretty much invented or co-invented every single Marvel superhero that's been made into a movie. He either made it or he co-created with someone else.
Mm.
And he was deeply involved in the occult.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Marvel mystery happening there.
Marvel mystery.
Marvel mystery.
Yeah. He was also probably intelligence, but
probably.
Yeah. So once Earth has returned to its habitable state, all will return. New Black Paradise.
Wakanda.
In his book, Elijah Muhammad claimed that after the apocalypse, peace, joy, and happiness will have no end. Those living in this perfect society will eat the finest food, wear the finest clothes of silk interwoven with gold.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
That was what I was doing.
Actually, I want to bring up, yeah, they have some interesting views on diet.
Oh, great.
The NOI has taught that the white ruling elite are aware of this forthcoming apocalypse and that the U.S. exploration of space and the Strategic Defense Initiative are futile attempts to protect themselves against the mother plane. Oh, it all comes together.
That's so great.
Whiteys, we have known about this. They figured it out. Right. They're on to us.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Okay.
NASA, help us.
Since I talked about the diet, you want to hear some of the diet?
Yeah, let's hear about the Nation of Islam diet.
Okay, this is...
Does it make your brain get bigger? Because
Oh, yeah. It's just so funny, like, how they, like, okay, I'll say this, which is, I've always wondered this, when you hear about how the Book of Mormon was created,
right,
and written down, that it was one guy sticking his head in a hat,
right,
and just reading it out.
Yeah, and then somebody was, he was dictating. Yeah.
Dictating.
Yeah.
I've read some of the Book of Mormon, and... if we're going to take it at true fact that one guy or two guys just made it up.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting that they were actually able to tie in a lot of like the Old Testament, the New Testament.
Oh, he was like a preacher. He was
right.
Yeah.
But like these guys just like, they don't even try. You know what I mean? There's no coherent narrative at all.
Well, it's like his grandma took him to church a couple times. So right. He heard some Bible stories that intrigued him. So then he's like, I'll mix that in a little bit. That was a kind of cool story.
Yeah, but he doesn't like, I guess it's kind of like kind of cool in a way to like, I wish I had.
Make your own cult?
No, like the amount of, not charisma, but like confidence in myself to like, just straight up be like, yeah, I said that other thing. It's that too, plus this.
Right. And they're double like, down on
you know, it. Just double down on the lie. And even when you're caught, like, just say, well, yeah, everything's true.
Right.
You're like, these numbers don't make sense. Shut up.
Right.
You know, like that.
You weren't there.
Kill him. Right. Like, you know, that's probably what they do.
That's probably what they did, yeah.
But I just love the way that, like these guys are not smart.
I think it also is a commentary on people in general.
Yeah.
How we will literally, with the need to fit into something, we will literally accept almost anything.
Dude, I was just talking about this before I came over.
Oh, really?
The whole concept of a group identity.
Yeah.
They is the group as a concept. It's almost like, this is kind of weird talking about something as abstract as a group.
Right.
But there's books. I can't remember what the classic book that's written about it. But it basically makes the case that like once a group is created, it basically is its own thing. Like you right. kind of create like an egregore or, yeah, like a spirit. Like there is creation in the group of something that can just make people completely go out of their mind. Like they don't think.
Or they just
go along with it.
Yeah, it's like attractive or repulsive too. Like new people coming in, they'll either be repulsed by it.
Yeah.
Or they'll be, and I see that with small groups, like like in churches.
Yeah.
Small groups, like some small groups are really dynamic and they're very communal and people are like friendly. And then you have other ones where you're like real rigid and like they're just not very fun and they're just all about like, let's do the whatever we're supposed to do, stick to the thing. And they have their own feel. Mm-hmm. And you got to find your one. And some of them are repulsive, and some of them, like, when I say repulsive, I don't mean like, you know, I don't want anything. It's more of like, I'm just not attracted to that.
Yeah.
I'd rather go somewhere else. And other ones are more attractive, and you want to be a part of them. But I guess my whole thing is, and I love what you were just saying, but it's such a commentary on people in general. We want to belong to something.
Yeah.
And we're willing to almost accept anything to feel like we belong.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing with cults.
Yeah, like, yeah.
They prey on certain types of people.
Right.
I don't know if that was the intent of Elijah Muhammad when he was kind of putting all this together. Mm-hmm. And I think Elijah Muhammad, if I'm going to be honest with you, I think he was an opportunist. Mm-hmm. I think when he was being discipled by W.D. Fard, I think he was actually saw an opportunity to gain wealth and have people like him and follow him. Mm-hmm. I think that's what was happening.
Yeah. And I think the same kind of thing with cults. When you're talking about repulsive, I just was thinking of this is, you know, the idea of like a boiled frog where mm-hmm. you just slowly, if a frog jumps, if you have a pot of boiling water and you drop a frog right into it, it'll immediately leap out.
Right, yeah.
But if you put a frog in room temperature water and then slowly just increase it, it won't leave. It kind of gets used to the heat and then it will die. Like, because you will boil the frog.
Yeah.
But it won't hop out as you increase the temperature. Cults operate in the same way. Like, again, Scientology, if there's a reason that in cults there's this, or secret orders or something like that, it taps on this human nature to, I think, want to be a part of, but also be a part of something unique. You know what I mean? Like, everyone kind of has that desire to be unique, which I think is, it's God-given. Like, we're all created uniquely different, not too unique, but, you know, we're unique enough. And that kind of thing is when you're feeling special, like a part of something special that's really attractive. But at the same time, so like a lot of these cults, like Scientology, the only way that we, the outside, know about the crazy stuff that happens is because people leave the cult and tell everyone, this is what they believe. This is insane. Why? Right. This is, I can't believe I believe. It's always this, I can't believe I believe that.
Yep, yep.
But at the beginning, when you're gaining people, same kind of way.
Well, love bombing is a technique.
Right.
But
they slowly, it starts off as a self-help group. And you have a lot of connections, Scientology in particular. And then you start going through this therapy, you know, like with the going clear, you know, like the Thetans. Like it is like there's something to like therapy and talking about your deepest, darkest secrets. There's obvious ulterior motives of why they do it to keep you in there.
They get dirt, yeah.
But there's some grace. The whole point of what I'm getting at that is that I think in a similar way, with this, you can see with the Nation of Islam is a lot of this stuff is revealed like to Elijah Muhammad, to the rest of the other people as it's going on. Like he's writing letters and creating new doctrines. So it's unfolding. So when you look at all of it from the outside, it's like, I can't even make sense of this. Why would you believe this? But someone that's on the inside over 20 years just kind of adds
that's
to it.
Really
it's just
point.
A little piece. Oh, okay.
Oh, we believe this now too? Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, I'm cool. already in.
You I think know? I heard about that one time, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So.
Versus like when you think about like Christianity, like you were mentioning earlier, just from an apologetic standpoint, but it's like you have a consistent theme through thousands of years.
Right.
And that theme is actually validated. And at the end, you get Jesus, who's called the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And you also have, he's called the living word, right? He's the word made flesh. So there's this whole concept of everything that's in there, he wrote it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. It unfolded through history, but it had been written before history began.
Right.
So.
And at the same time, even if you want to make the case, you know, over the Bible is written over hundreds over 1,000 years.
Oh yeah,
like the books of the Bible.
Yeah,
at the time the canon was closed. Like that's the other thing, you can't add to it. The Bible says, you know, don't add to this.
Right.
So even if you want, if I'm just coming from a
second revelation,
someone else's like criticizing of the Bible of like, well, when it was written down, at least they ended it, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, not to go into Christian apologetics, but you know, there's always stuff that was preceding it that makes sense later on, that you know, that history actually backs up, that was predicted. Look into, you know, the predictions in the Bible and all the stuff, the Old Testament, it's all there. It's not just silly Billy stuff that's thrown out there.
Right, right. Yeah, but, this is like almost like just potluck.
Yeah. No, I wanted to, what I was laughing about is I found a picture of the Hubble telescope.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, of the mothership.
Oh, they have a picture of
it? Yeah, that the Hubble telescope took. That's it.
Wait a second.
It's like the
most... That's ISIS. Oh, there. That...
It's so ridiculous.
Photographed by Hubble Telescope, 1994. Yeah. Like if they found, like, honestly, like, if NASA came back with, oh, well, but wait, it's run by white people, so we're going to keep it under wraps. Uh-huh. But if they really did find a spaceship that looked like that.
Oh, I got you covered.
Oh, okay.
Let me read this.
What's the quick conspiracy around
okay.
it?
Okay. In Revelation 21.
Oh, great.
Oh, this says in Revelations 21. It doesn't even get it right.
That's a pet peeve of Rosie and I's.
It's not Revelations.
It's Revelation.
It's Revelation. The revelation of John.
That's right.
And it's not John's revelation.
No.
It was Jesus telling him.
That's right. Yeah.
It's Jesus' revelation to John.
Yeah. And it's the revealing of Christ.
Right.
As yeah. Lord. Yeah.
But yeah, even in this, they don't even get it right. Yeah. How hard is that to look up?
Right.
And it's throughout. Okay. Anyway. In Revelations 21, Yacoub saw a new righteous government replacing the old wicked government establishment. The new government, he realized, will model the blueprint of life and science lived on a mechanical city in the sky designed by God himself. Yacoub referred to the city as a new Jerusalem. This is from Nation of Islam, okay. Word for word. This is what they teach. Yeah. The place where God and his angels will launch war against Satan's army. Then after a great battle and victory, a new civilization will be taught and established throughout the ends of the earth forever through the resurrection of the once lost black nation and not Yacoub's world order. The question is New Jerusalem also referred to as the Mother Plane? Unlike U.S. and Russian space station, the Mother Plane was designed by Master Farhan Muhammad. Compared to this mechanical city seen below, in the U.S.-Russian space station seen above, is a childlike contraption. I mean, Western astrophysicists of aerospace, he misspelled aerospace, dynamics are millions of years behind in applying the mechanical sciences of the universe to employ in a battle of the sky against God and his angels. According to the Weekly World News, just days after the space shuttle astronauts repaired the Hubble Space Telescope in mid-December, the giant lens focused on a star cluster at the edge of the universe. That's the word from author and researcher Marcia Mason, who quoted highly places NASA insiders as having said that the telescope beamed hundreds of photos back to the command center on December 26th. They found, that's the picture that apparently they came back with of the mothership.
For the listeners, I just want to describe it. It looks like a hand-drawn, it's supposed to be from Hubble Telescope. It looks like a hand-drawn cartoonish. And if you can imagine taking a picture of like an ancient city from far away and it's on a hillside and then just make it glow.
Yeah.
And then kind of like make it become blurry around the edges. So it looks like fire coming out. Yeah. I'm trying to describe for the listener. But so they believe that I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. It gets more.
It gets even better? Yeah. Okay, cool.
So apparently NASA says the pictures clearly show a vast white city floating eerily in the blackness of space. Again, why would it be a white city? Isn't white supposed to be evil? Oh, well. It's okay. And the expert quoted NASA sources as saying that the city is definitely heaven because life as we know it couldn't possibly exist in icy, airless space. This is it. This is the proof we've been waiting for, Dr. Mason told reporters. Through the enormous stroke of luck, NASA aimed the Hubble telescope at precisely the right place at precisely the right time to capture these images on film. I'm not particularly religious, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff.
So that's their proof.
Listen to this. They also confirmed that President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore have taken a keen personal interest in the photographs and requested daily briefings. Dr. Mason said, the Hubble Space Telescope was designed to photograph images as far away as the edge of the universe, but a lens flaw prevented it from doing so until the shuttle astronauts corrected the defect during a recent mission. Yacoub seems to have described the future work of a holy city as best he could while on Patmos. At least he knew this holy city contained an entirely new atmosphere without any opposite polarities. He knew one day that the negative city would be perfected by the powers on the holy city, not by the U.S. space station and the experiments they hope to achieve to affect our Earth's atmosphere and human life. So that has something to do with Revelation 21.
Yeah. Well, the new heavens.
The new heavens Earth. And new Earth.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Interesting.
Sorry.
Wow. So.
I just, yeah. So let's get to the food.
Oh, the food. That's yeah, right. Sorry, I forgot about the food.
Yeah. Yeah. We start going. Okay. So it these rules apparently originated in vague form in Vague with W.D. Ford, who banned eating pork and other poison animals, which are duck, goose, opossum, and catfish.
Opossum.
Dude, it gets worse.
I wouldn't desire any of this. I mean, maybe a goose. Duck, I've never had. Oh, I've had duck once, but possum and catfish? I've had cat.
Like who?
What?
Yeah. Who?
Catfish isn't bad, actually. If you fry it, it's not bad.
Which is kind of funny because catfish is a cheap food.
Right.
In the South.
Right. And right. Yep, yep. And I'm following you.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. But I guess they don't eat it. According to Elijah Muhammad, the pig, which comes from another planet.
Pigs from space.
So when pigs fly, they were literally like, it is.
But there was the Muppets, the pigs from space. Pigs
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, space. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam, man. They knew it
They're
was
getting up. It in. The pig. Came up I that. Told you, everything about this is just so good. Like, there's gold everywhere. Okay, the pig, which comes from another planet, is so poisonous that even a Muslim starving to death must not eat it. Indeed, merely to inhale the scent is forbidden.
Mm.
Other foods Allah discourages or forbids include any animals weighing more than 50 pounds, which includes most mammals and some fish.
Yeah.
In addition, all game, domestic animals, fatty foods, and all birds but squabs are out, as is most ground meat. Elijah Muhammad rejected raccoons, all turtles, turtle eggs, frog legs, oysters, crabs, clams, snails, shrimp, eels, and most types of sardines.
Most types.
If meat is eaten, it better be kosher. Better yet, be a vegetarian.
But it can't be over 50 pounds.
It can't be over 50 pounds.
So you can't eat steak. You can't... You definitely can't eat pork, obviously, for various reasons with them.
So what all is left?
Chicken? Chicken, maybe? Yeah, that's all you
it's
got.
It's like chicken.
Chicken. Chicken and biscuits.
Well, okay, it goes on. Elijah Muhammad denounced sweet potatoes, white potatoes, rice, pasta, grits, and full-grown corn and popcorn. Full-grown corn.
Grits?
The only peas you can eat are sweet peas.
Oh, I love sweet peas.
No collard greens, cabbage sprouts, turnip salad.
Dude, he's killing he's killing like the African American diet. Like they're the South. They like love their collard greens.
All of it. Yeah. Collard greens, no catfish. I guess chicken you can eat, but come on. Raw vegetables, leafy legumes, large beans, soybeans. A meal made of nuts reduces life by 5 years.
What's leafy legume?
Lettuce, kale.
You can't eat lettuce. He's basically like...
There's nothing.
It's like he's super picky eater. That's what they didn't know. And he's just like, I only want what I like.
Wait, I don't...
Onions and chicken.
Chicken, yeah.
Chicken and onions.
Maybe legumes. No,
Once in a while, I'll eat a couple nuts. Yeah. You know, just so I'm feeling like I want to end things.
Yeah. So there, you want it
quicker.
Cornbread is bad.
Cornbread, come on.
As are pastries, store-bought biscuits and icing, as well as margarine.
Wow.
Avoid fried foods. Baked ones are better. Out with cooked fruit and processed raisins. Also, avoid raw vegetables.
So no, like, pumpkin pie, no apple pie, because you can't cook the fruit. Oh, my gosh.
Avoid raw vegetables, except for a little bit of salad. Cook food thoroughly. No cheese. Except for cream cheese. Canned food is not acceptable, though jar food is. No fluoride, spices, or salt, except for kosher salt. Stay away from soda pop. No snacking. Alcohol and tobacco damage the male reproductive organs. But alcohol in moderation does only modest harm over a long time.
So you're allowed to drink.
Navy beans are one of the best foods.
So that's what he liked, navy beans.
Navy beans with milk and whole wheat or rye bread. These, Elijah Muhammad said, alone will keep us alive indefinitely. Never eat fresh bread.
What?
He insists on stale and moldy bread.
No way.
He says, let it be at least a day or two old. He prefers cooked dough cooked two or three or four times, chew thoroughly, eat slowly, digest fully. Further, on the principle that the less you eat, the longer you lived, WD called on followers to eat just once a day, preferably between 4 and 6 p.m., most draconian of all in recalling a concentration camp diet, he recommended eating only once every 2, 3, or even 7 days. Whoa. Children, however, may eat twice daily. The wrong diet also makes a person look old and behave badly. So he liked fasting, which is good. Basically you can eat stale bread, navy beans, milk, but that bread has to be wheat or rye. That's her diet.
That's pretty sad. That's enough to make me not want to be a Nation of Islam follower.
I know.
I mean, the fact that I'm white would probably not let me get in, but other than that, diet. You know. Man.
Yeah.
So this is a crazy, crazy cult. This is definitely going to go with our Doctrines of Demons series. I'm going to have to label it or somehow, but that's crazy. So here's my thing. So I made a couple observations just on this. Mm-hmm. One is that, I've always made that connection with Islam and Mormonism, how, you know, like, Muhammad gets from Gabriel a message, and then Joseph Smith gets it from Moroni, the angel Moroni, and how they both were very sexual in nature. They both had harems. They both, you know, had a lot of that sexual deviancy to them, connected to them. Violent. They were both violent. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't realize the early Mormons were very, very violent. But with this, with the Nation of Islam, the only connections I got were kind of like the esoteric, kind of more like the outer space stuff, which connects with the Mormons because, you know, we're going to get a planet, you know, or they're going to get a planet supposedly. Mm-hmm. When they're perfected, the white thing and the black thing becoming, the blacks were, you know, basically demons in Mormonism. Demons became black people,
right,
in creation in Mormonism or in the early doctrines. They don't like to admit that now. Mm-hmm. And then you have with this one, whites become gorillas because we were like so...
Because we had sex with animals.
Because we had sex with animals. We were so base, like just horrible. Not based, but base.
Right, yeah, base.
And those are some of the observations I made. And the other one was that it was literally a free-for-all, it was almost like pick your destiny. Type, remember those books where you could like pick your...
Or choose your own adventure?
Yeah, choose your own adventure. That's basically what it was. It's like choose your own adventure religion, you know, join our cult. And what's crazy is that, you know, I see how it, like I was saying before, I see how it could work because you're in the 1930s, the early 1930s, in America in particular, to be an African-American, you know, citizen, you would be vulnerable. And looking for a group to connect with and then promising, you know, you had probably been really racially abused, you know, at that time period or your parents or relatives that were maybe died as slaves.
I mean, slavery was your parent. Like if you were 30 years old, 20 years old in the 30s.
Yeah. Your parents,
were slaves.
Weren't set free somehow,
or the children of slaves,
right? Yeah, it was definitely, you were definitely in the generation of it, and I could see how it could be appealing, you know what I mean? And what's interesting, you and I were talking a little bit before we hit record, and there was also this very similar thing with Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. We covered this years ago with Black Lives Matter, but Patrice Pounders or founder, what was her name? Patrice something was one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. She's no longer connected with the organization apparently because she was embezzling money, got caught and stuff.
All her millions of dollars.
Literally millions of dollars, houses, things like that. Apparently they were, and you were mentioning this and it reminded me that there's some similarities in this, that mm-hmm. that when they would do the whole thing, like say her name when someone right. would die, it was, they actually had the roots of their belief systems in like Afro cults. I'm trying to think of the right term. Afro cultural cults that are like,
it's from like the Caribbean.
Yeah, Afro-Caribbean cults.
Like Santeria kind of stuff.
Yeah. Not, that wasn't the exact one, but right. like that, yeah. And so pouring out the drink and mm-hmm. also saying their names and all of that, it had this real occulty kind of vibe to it. And they actually admitted that, yeah, this is what's going to give us more power. And so it's really interesting, though, like how all of these things are kind of fitting together. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad when it's funny to think about, like, but it's sad when you really think about it, that the truth is right there for people.
Yeah.
It's right there.
And they're even getting little pieces of some truth.
Yeah. Which is super satanic, right? That's the whole idea, is like, give you part of what God mm-hmm. said rather than, but just cause you to question the rest of it.
Right. Exactly.
You know. Man, dude, that was fun. That was crazy. So like we said before, we're going to have two more that are going to be follow-ups for this that are going to be tangentially connected to this, mm-hmm. you know, in the kind of the orbit. And the next one, you know, if you were offended and felt like we were, this is sort of racial, whatever, don't worry, we're going to knock on our own selves. So,
yeah. And I think just to end it up with this too is this most black people, your friends, are not Nation of Islam. Right. This is a very small thing. More than 99% of the entire world. I mean, again, right. how many people actually believe what we're reading? Like, anywhere from 50 to 200,000 people.
And if you think about it, if you were to sit down and read these beliefs to them, yeah. like to some of these people that are identifying with the Nation, they might actually leave.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, wait, what, they believe that? What? I never knew that. No, right, I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
And I also question, like, what's the commitment level?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one that most people that are really in it are probably
pretty steep.
Pretty steeped in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But
I guess like with the KKK, it's same type of
thing. Oh, well, yeah. I was going to say that. This is, there are Nation of Islam, there are Nation of Islam members, obviously still today. There's videos that come out
all the time. Regularly. Louis Farrakhan, I mean, he's got people around him, he draws a crowd, yeah.
Exactly. And there are Nation of Islam, if you actually look up Nation of Islam, like 2020 murders, like there are guys that killed a bunch of cops actually in Virginia. So, like... He was a Nation of Islam member.
Oh, I remember that.
Went out and like killed like three cops.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So at the end of this, we're goofing on this because it's absolutely ridiculous. But it's ridiculously hateful, obviously.
Yeah.
They're talking about all this stuff about that, about white people. And they are violent. Like they have a whole military wing.
Yeah,
you know, they were deeply connected to
the FOI, the fruit of
the FOI. There are people that obviously are extremely violent, that do things in, like, I don't want to call it a terrorist organization because it's not, but there are people that do murders recently, like they happen. It's not just that one.
Yeah.
There are people who get murdered because of these teachings, because when you teach a racist ideology that teaches that literally everything that's bad is happening from one group of people.
Right.
And it goes into every, I mean, we're not even touching on, there's so much stuff that they're talking about. We're just reading from a couple different things that are more out there.
In their own writings too.
Right, right. This is all, this is all their own writing. We, it's extremely hateful. It's extremely, but it is what I was going to, there is violence that's happening. In the name of it, for such a small group. You know, the Black Panthers were related to it. This kind of thinking at the same time, you know, is in modern rap. There's a lot of rappers that are in the five percenters, like Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, I remember him.
The basketball player was a member of that.
He played for the Wizards.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty good. There's a lot, but this is in rapper, like in modern rap.
Was Tupac one in the Nation of Islam?
I don't think. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But a lot of modern ones that are coming up around that same time. It does have, you know, gang violence or, you know, stuff like that. So it's
NWA maybe.
I think Ice Cube is.
Ice Cube.
You remember watching the movie? He actually becomes
a
member of the Nation of Islam and like stops doing all that stuff. I'm not sure if he still is. I would imagine he still is, but I think, I can't remember.
Black culture, they're going to try and infiltrate, you know, with their ideology for any culture that's vulnerable to it. You know?
And this stuff, obviously they talk about, we didn't even touch on conspiracy theories that they purport.
Right.
But another thing is to be wary that there are people, they know how to use the internet.
Right.
Like they're making videos. I hear stuff that like I would hear and I'm like, oh, that is Nation of Islam stuff. Like the idea that this is very common, where it's like, oh, we were the kings and queens. And, you know, I've seen ridiculous stuff where I can't even tell if it's real or not, but like, where they're like, oh, Shakespeare was actually black. Like, anytime you see this kind of stuff where like, oh, this guy was actually black and it's the white man, like that stuff I see come, it is like very into the conspiracy realm, because these guys are very online and they agree with some, like they're against vaccines. So you're going to hear them talk about like, oh, it's trying to kill us and stuff like that.
Right.
So you may come across this stuff, and hopefully now that you kind of know what is behind it, I think it's like that effect. You know, like when you buy a new car, all of a sudden you start noticing that same car everywhere.
Yeah, right. Or you want to buy a car and you see that car everywhere.
Yeah. So I think people, now that if you're turned on to this and you're hearing all this kind of stuff, you probably will notice it in a lot of, I can think of one really large account that says a lot of stuff on Instagram. And I don't even follow Instagram that much. But you'll see this kind of stuff pop up. And another interesting thing, sorry, not to ramble on too much, but you talked about the KKK.
Yeah.
With this. The Nation of Islam and the KKK guys, like, I'm pretty sure they marched together at certain times. Right. Like,
which seems so bizarre.
Yeah. It seems bizarre at first, like, glance. You're like, the KKK was cool with Nation of Islam guys? And these guys that hate white people are cool with the KKK?
Yeah.
And it's honestly because they believe the same thing. Like,
well, they believe, like, I think you called it segregationism.
Right. They believe segregate. Like, the Nation of Islam guys are like, we want to go back to Africa because it was so much better than there. And then you have the KKK going, good, leave. We don't want you here.
Right.
Like, it's peaceful, you know, like, in that kind of way that they both have. The KKK
they don't want each other around, basically.
Right, they both agree with that. And, so this is, again, we're not
both are
hating
wrong.
On black people.
Right.
We're talking about a specific hateful group that is an extremist group that does not,
right,
you know, we don't, I just want to make sure this, because this is kind of, you know, touchy with stuff.
But, especially this day and age.
Yeah. But I think people know we're not racist. Right. And like you said, Whitey's next. We're coming after.
We're coming after you, Whitey. Yeah. You get your moment in this, in the.
Yeah. You know, actually, here's a, did you know? Because I'm Polish.
Okay.
The first king of Haiti. Did I ever tell you this?
I think you did.
But bestowed upon the Polish people, the nation. Basically, he said that we are black Polish people.
Like are the honorary Haitians or something?
No, we're the honorary blacks of Europe.
Oh, wow.
He called us. So.
So you're speaking out of.
Yeah, I'm speaking out of my own language. You're oppressing me.
I'm sorry. I will stop oppressing you.
Thank you.
I've given you plenty of time on the microphone.
Yes.
Okay.
Time to end.
I don't like to let you have any make decisions and stuff like that. No. This is my podcast. So,
yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for listening. It's been fun. We have some other episodes coming up. We have great guests. that we are gathering up slowly, but they'll be on as well. And add this to your Doctrine of Demons and put it in your series. And we'll catch you next time.
See ya. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the All Out War podcast today. If you had a blast, then we'd love to have you back for another episode. So please subscribe and leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.